Well, come on and get a Lord a hand clap tonight. Amen. Amen. Our God is a good God. Amen. And he reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. And our God is an awesome God. Amen. Thank God for Pastor Gordon and Debbie Brubaker. Amen. And the congregation here and all of you. It's good to be home. You might be like, well, what do you mean at home? You live in Columbus. I'm talking about spiritually. We're connected. Amen. Praise God. And because we're connected, we're not disconnected. You know, sometimes we need that revelation ourselves because sometimes we don't understand from the spiritual point of view that we're all in God's family. Amen. Knowing that, amen, he loves us so much that he doesn't want us, amen, to be discouraged. Amen. Well, praise God. Here we are. We are into 3 days. Amen. Glory to God. Yeah. Yeah. Not only that, but we have one more night, and that'd be the last night I'll be with you, amen, for unless God says otherwise, you know, because God knows how to do things differently, amen. But we praise God for you being here, amen, excited because God is still on the throne. I checked this morning. He's still on the throne. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. How many know it's good to know he's on the throne? Because if he ain't on the throne, we're in trouble. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. But God is good. Hey, thank you for your laughter. Amen. How many know laughter is good? Amen. Merry heart maketh what? Medicine. Amen. We got a lot of believers walking around bitter. Amen. Bitter. Hallelujah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Praise God. Yeah. Amen. And some of them just bite your neck off, but they just need more of God's love flowing in them. Amen. So keep that in mind. Don't become bitter. Become sweeter. Amen. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we just honor your presence and thank you for these kings and priests that are called by your name. Thank you for the word that you've given us tonight, even the word of prayer that went out for Pastor Dees and Carrie. We just know that you're doing great things in their life, Father. And thank you for the prayer. We believe it's already answered, as Pastor Gordon said. It's already done. And we just pray now for the Holy Spirit to move upon this word tonight. I'm asking that you use this vessel that of clay that's before you even now, that you fill me with the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that he will come forth and use me as an instrument of righteousness to feed your sheep and feed your lambs. God, open up our eyes so we can hear, God. Not only that, open our eyes so we can see, God. Open up our hearts to receive an impartation that will bring about a change in our conduct, our attitude, and our behavior, God. God, we need more of you, God. We don't want to be satisfied with what we had yesterday, God. We need more bread, more revelation of who you are day by day, God. And you promised to give it to us, Lord. So we bind the enemy and all his devices. We declare that Jesus is Lord and he will be magnified. Nothing will be hindered and unchecked because of your word, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone says, amen. Amen. Praise God. We're talking about faith empowerment this week. Amen. And the purpose of us coming together, amen, is our expectation of these meetings, praise God, we already declared, amen. Everybody else is declaring some things. We declared some things before we got started, amen. Our expectation is based upon hearing the word of God, amen. Hearing the word of God, praise God, so that our faith will increase to believe God's power, amen, will be made available to us, for us, and through us. I like that because it's personal. It's to us. Somebody say us. It's to us, for us, and working what? Through us. Amen. That's what God wants to do. Amen. That's his desire for us. Amen. In Jesus' name. And we're excited, amen, because I know that you got to have faith for that. Remember I told you what you hear, what you do hear a lot of times is what you have faith for. Because faith comes by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by the what?
Word.
Well, you know, the devil, he's smart. He takes the word of God and flips it upside down. So he knows faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. He knows that fear comes by.
Fear.
He just uses the same thing that God uses, but he twists it. Is that making any sense? So it's important for you and I to understand that God has done some great things. We're just learning, amen, as we talked about last night, learning to use our faith is a what? Process. Amen. We talked about that. A working process. That means, amen, we're working on some things. Amen. How many know when you get saved, God wants you to work on some things? Amen. Amen. Somebody asked me today, will we ever stop working on things? I said, no, because the graduation is not down here. It's in heaven. So you got to keep on. What you learn is called principles. The principles that you live by from the word, they should become life principles. Giving should be a life principle. Forgiveness should be a life principle. Are you hearing me? Walking in the fruit of the Spirit should be a life principle. It's not something that you just say, I got it, and then you don't walk in it. Because remember, the word is given for us to walk it out. We talked about that a little bit last night, that I think it was just a powerful word for us to understand that. Remember, we talked about the process of learning is to the point that we understand. Yeah, because a lot of people don't quite understand. And I don't really try to make people, I have to use a careful, I'll be careful with this, to offend people. Because sometimes you can know something that somebody doesn't know, and you can make them feel not appreciated. And they feel like they can't engage because you know. How many know that God wants all of us to know? Amen. Because why? Because God is interested in teaching us his ways so we can walk in his paths. Amen. And I told you the problem with the body of Christ, people say they already know. And with the knowing last night, we talked about knowing is recall. We take sometimes the things of the world and we use them into the church, the same natural law, but we're talking about spiritual laws that are different from the natural law. Because knowing, amen, is not recall. Remember, we talked about that last night. People read and recall because they have a good memory, and because they can repeat it, they say they know it. Well, in the Hebrew model, knowing is doing. Because Jesus said, and you should know the truth. So the truth is designed for you to know it and do it, but if you don't know it and do it, then you don't know it. And we walking around thinking we know it because we're using the natural law of repeating and memory. And the Hebrew model is for you to apply the information and live by it, and then you know it. Yes. In other words, when you know, it's become intimate. When you become intimate with what you know, it's designed to free you up. Yes. So you don't have to pray for freedom. Oh, my God. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Touch the name and say, hold on tonight. Hold on. Oh, here we go. Praise God. See, the truth is designed to free us, not to be lost in memory. Because the word of God is living and what active. So it's designed to do something inside of us if we permit it to do so in Jesus' name. Remember, I said the process of learning is the point that we understand. The focus should be on the promise of being. The focus shouldn't be the promise being manifested. Because that's where the church is. We're looking for God to manifest. But God, amen, how he looks at it, he wants us not to focus on it being manifested, but the focus should be on how to use our faith to obtain the manifestation of God's promises. It's knowing how to use what God has given you. That'll hit you about 3 o'clock in the morning because you got to really meditate upon this, because what God is trying to do is change how we think. Change how we act and change how we do things, because we're really spirit beings, lives, and natural bodies. Is that all right? So we talked about that last night, learning to use one's faith. Tonight we're going to be talking about learning to use one's faith. I think you'll like this. Learning to use one's faith will make you combat ready. Oh, now. Yeah, this is good stuff, amen. It's already been good. But learning to use one faith will make you combat ready. That's what we're going to be talking about tonight. And what I'm simply saying is putting our faith in an offensive position. Remember, our faith consists of what? Our confidence in God, amen. Because the Bible said the trials of your faith. That means our faith comes by hearing the word of God. The Bible says in Romans 8, 10 and 8, so then the word is nigh unto you, even into thy heart, the word of what? Faith in which we preach. So faith come by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Romans 12 and 3, it said, God that dealt to every man the measure of faith. Well, that measure of faith we talked about, amen, had to deal with Jesus, is the measurement to our faith. Because it's him. When we receive him, we receive what? The word of God made flesh. And because we receive the word of God made flesh, now your faith is designed to be not in yourself, but in something. Yeah. Are you hearing me? Yeah. He said, Jesus said in Mark 11, 22, have faith in God. Because some people have faith in themselves, but not faith in God's word. So faith is a choice. When you choose to put your faith in God, or you choose to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior of your life, then what happened is now you've been placed in the kingdom of God, that now you're going to be ruled by his word. Is that all right? It's the word that's going to be ruled now through you, not your word, but his word. Amen? Amen. So that's important for us to wrap our brains around, because remember, we're talking about putting our faith on offense, our offensive position. Amen. The church has been on defense for so long that we don't even know how to get on offense. Is that all right? Matter of fact, the church is always on offense. Amen. Praise God. We got to get on offense. Somebody said we got to get on offense. And here, amen, it says, it's where we determine. Listen, it's where we determine that our faith in God will cause us to come out. I remember a young man got saved in our ministry, received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of his life, took on water baptism, amen, came to service, amen, because we come to service to learn, amen, and open up our textbooks, which is the Bible, and the teacher will get up to try to teach us, amen, things that we didn't know before. And he kept telling me that he had some problems before he got saved, and that was he couldn't get a job. And the reason why he did something, a stupid mistake, and then he had a record, amen, criminal record, he couldn't get. I said, but you're in Christ now. Mm-hmm. But he didn't know his rights. I said, if any man, I told him in one scripture, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, all things what? So I had to get his faith out of the system that was failing and his faith into what God says. That God says all things are possible if you believe. Yeah. I said, do you believe that God can give you a job? He said, yes. I said, well, that's what we're going to stand on. We're not standing on what used to happen because that's putting you in a defensive position. We're going to put you on offense to believe that God's going to bless you with a job. Now, if God can't bless him with a job, then we know what we're all in trouble. Yeah. Is that all right? So what happened was that he put his faith in that. And eventually, he got a job. And the first job he got, he was working for EAEP as a temp service. So I told him, I said, if you're faithful over that, because see, once God blesses you, he wants you to learn the art of being a good steward. Stewardship is when you're faithful over something that's not yours. Is that all right?
Yeah.
So I said, you're not working. You're working for God through there. All right? So the Lord blessing worked the EAEP. Amen. And after that, he got a job, amen, working at the post office. How you get a job when you got a criminal? Because God can do it. So not only that, he gets a job at the post office. Not only that, but now he's working for Morton Stanley, amen. He's sitting behind a desk. Because when you don't limit God, not you trying to do it, when you believe that God will help you do what you need to do through life, life gets a little bit more easier because you're not putting your confidence in yourself. You're putting your confidence in God. Is that making any sense? Not only that, when we face negative situations that's not God's will for our life, there's some things we face that's not God's will for our life. Remember, we read that scripture last night that Jesus said these things are going to happen because you're in the world. Trials, tribulations, distress. Amen. You don't have to pray for them. They're going to come. If you live long enough, trouble is going to come your way. Something's going to knock on your door to let you know that you're not that strong. You need somebody mightier and greater than you. Is that making any sense? So it's important for you and I at this point, amen, when things do happen as believers, at that point, we have to determine to fight the good fight of faith. How many know it's a faith fight? And when I say faith fight, we have to learn how to stir up our confidence in God. When things start to happen negative in my life, and I know I haven't done anything wrong, I know I'm just serving God, you know, because all that live godly shall suffer persecution. And persecution comes in many forms and many ways. Amen. So at that point, you got to determine, amen, are you just going to be a mat for the devil to walk upon? Or are you just going to say, well, oh, that's just the way life is, and I just got to take it. Amen. How many know that there's some things that God did not will for you to take? He wants you to take control over through him in Jesus' name. Somebody say in Jesus' name. So we got to stir up our faith of confidence in God. Touch your neighbor, say, stir it up. Amen. You got to stir it up. Amen. You got to have confidence in God. Now, where you draw your confidence from is your history with God.
Yes.
Yeah, my history with God, when I was 25 years old, amen, and married, amen, I didn't know anything about marriage, but I was married. And most people don't know, and I'm going to help some of y'all, amen, strap on real tight. Marriage is not natural, it's spiritual because it was created by God. Now, if God created it, that means he got the handbook on it. Now, if you drive a Ford truck, you don't want to pull up in the Chevy lot and say, can you fix it? Are you hearing me? So sometimes we try to repair things we didn't know that it's connected to God. He has the blueprint on it. Does that make any sense? So God had to help me to be, teach me how to be not only a father, but a good husband, you know. And according to my wife, I'm doing pretty good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Yeah, because she's my sweetheart, junior high school sweetheart. We met in junior high school. And we had a child out of that relationship, amen, which is my oldest son, Michael. And we did get married, amen, in 1976. Amen. So God has been good to us. We've been married now over 43 years. So, you know, when you add junior high school, so we've been together for almost 47 years. But God, that's all I can tell people, you know, because God, you know, when you trust God, he can help you do things you quite may not quite understand, but he can help you do that. Does that make any sense? Touch the name, says, stir up your confidence in God. Number two is, remember, because we're talking about when you determine. Now, notice, when you determine to fight the good fight of faith, you have to stir up your confidence in God. You got to draw back on what God has done for you. Remember that? Remember when David fought Goliath? He drew back on what he knew. What did he know? He said, I was in a fight, amen, with a bear one time. Mm-hmm. Nobody was around. It was just me and the bear and God. Who you think going to win? I'm on God's side. Come on now. The bear ain't on God's side. Who you think? He said, I won that battle. Then he said, it was a lion. He drew back on that. He said, listen, I was in another fight. And this time it was me, God, and the lion. Who you think going to win? See, let me tell you something. When it's you and God, when you face something, y'all ain't hear me now. When you face something, y'all still ain't hear me now. When you face something in life, it's not just you. It's you and God, whatever that is. And you know what? If you stay with God, you will win. My God, we can go home now. That's the message. My God, are you hearing me tonight? It's not just, the devil makes you think it's just you. No, that's the lie. The lie is, Jesus said everything he says is a lie. Come on now, amen. He wants you to believe God ain't in you. He wants you to believe, amen, that you're not the righteousness of God. He wants you to believe that, you know what, you got to do this by yourself, amen. You got to pray to heaven. Let me tell you something, all that is a lie. Touch the neighbor, said you got to stir up your confidence in God. That means you got to remember. You got to remember, amen. He's done some things for you. May be as great as someone else, but you got to hold on to those memories, what he's done for you. And now he looks at the Goliath. He said, well, here we go. Here you go. Now I got giant faith now. I had bear faith. I had lion faith. Now I'm getting ready to get some giant faith. Amen. Is that all right? Because it's me and God. Amen. Tell your neighbor and smile. Say, it's you and God. Look at him. Say, you're not alone. So you may feel like you're alone, but feeling is not faith. Feeling is not faith. Well, I feel like I'm alone. That's not faith. Oh, God. Y'all get that? If you get that, just do this with me. Just wave your hand for a minute. Praise God. Just wave your hand. Yeah, just wave your hand. I ain't even trying to see who waving your hand because it don't really matter. I want to know, did you get it? Praise God. Amen. So it's you and God. So remember, confidence means stirring up your confidence. So it means it's you and God. Remember what he done for you. Don't forget one of the greatest sins that Israel committed. Listen, one of the greatest sins that they committed, Israel, when they were in bondage 400 years, God sends a man down there by the name of Moses. They were delivered. The Bible says that the Pharaoh got angry, wanted to come after them. They were swallowed up in the Red Sea. Y'all remember that? He said, the enemy you see today, you won't see anymore. Come on now. Then he takes them into the wilderness, giving them what? Manna from on high. Amen. Pillar by day, cloud by day, and fire by night. My God did all that for them. And then they forget. Touch your neighbor, said, don't forget. Number two, amen. Confession, amen. Remember, we're talking about our faith. Our faith consists of our what? Confidence in God and our confession. Our confession is scriptures that we're confessing the scriptures that we know that may be contrary to how we feel. Because sometimes, remember, your feelings will try to override faith. Override what the word says. Remember the young man, he said, I couldn't get a job. That was his feeling and past experience. But faith says all things are possible to them that believe. Come on now. Come on now. Yeah, so he has to make a decision. Is he going to keep saying what God says? And I gave one scripture, Philippians 4:19, because you got to load yourself up. How many know the word of God is like ammunition? Yeah. Ain't no sense having no gun and got no ammunition. That's the poor time to go to a fight and somebody got a knife, you know where, and you got a gun, but you ain't got no bullets. Come on now. Come on, somebody in trouble, and it ain't the guy with the knife. Are you hearing me today? So the enemy, no, he don't want you to load up with the word, because he know when he hears the word, he's got to back up off of you. When he hears the word, listen, I said, now I hear the word out of the preacher, when he hear the word come out of you. So I gave him one scripture, Philippians 4:19, which says, being confident of this very thing, but my God shall supply. That's right, Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply. Not he supply, but my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I said, put that in your spirit. Let that come out of your mouth, amen. And say that over and over again. When you start hearing, amen, you got a record. When you start hearing, you had this happen. And in the past, say what God says and see if God won't endorse what you're saying, amen. Because he will supply your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Because that's his what? Will for our life. The will of God is the word of God for our lives, amen. Are you hearing me? I don't have to pray his will. I know his will by reading the word, amen. Somebody said, well, I don't know what the will of God is. I do. If it's taking away my peace, amen, you know what? We're going to bind that in the name of Jesus, amen. This is not God's will. He's not trying to torment me as I walk this walk, Christian walk. Somebody say amen. Amen. The third thing is obedience. Somebody say obedience. That's not by not giving up on your faith. Don't give up on your faith. People get hit with stuff and just, they're done. Don't give up on your faith. Tell your neighbor, don't give up on your faith. You're still talking to them tonight, just like I'm still talking to you. Amen. God doesn't want us to give up on our faith. How many know in the Bible it talks about the three Hebrew boys? I like this story because it talks about many things they went through. But one of the trials they went through, it was going to be placed in a fiery furnace. Y'all remember that? What I like about this is that they're showing you their faith in their confession. Their obedience says they're not going to bow down, amen, to when they hear the music play. Y'all know all that, you know. They chose, that's their obedience. But when the king, amen, was upset, he said, all right, we're going to put him in the fire. Heat it up seven times hotter. And then they looked at him and said this. They said, king, we want you to know. Listen to this statement. This is powerful. We want you to know if God don't deliver us, let me paraphrase, if we turn out to be barbecue, we want you to know that God was still able. Listen to that. Listen to that. Do you hear that? That's a powerful statement. Because what they were really saying is that, see, you think God, if he don't deliver us, you're going to think he's not God. But we want you to know that he's still able. Are you hearing me? See, most people don't wrap their brains around that, because sometimes we're looking to come out of a situation, but sometimes God wants, amen, to empower you to go through it. And then when you come out, amen, with giant faith. Is that making any sense? All right, listen, let's go somewhere. Let's go to Galatians chapter number 1, verses 1 through 5. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified, because we're talking about becoming combat ready. Learning, that means you're always ready to avenge anything that's contrary to God's will to try to hit your life. That's my mindset, amen. Once I know that he's given me the authority of God is for us, for him to rule in and through us, and also, amen, taking the authority because we're in the world, because we're in the world, we're not of the world. There are things that are happening in the world that should not happen to me because I'm under covenant. And when I say under covenant, the covenant we have is with Jesus. Is that all right? It's because of Jesus, God will do a lot of things for us. Outside of Jesus, he won't do anything for us. Is that making any sense? Because the covenant, amen. Now notice it says in Galatians, amen, chapter number 5, verses 1, amen, through 5. I'm going to read this in the Amplified, so please bear with me because it's a lot of reading here, but this is good stuff for you and I to hear. Can you say amen? So that Galatians chapter number 1, I said, chapter number 1. I did say 5, but chapter number 1, amen. Yeah, yeah. So again, that wasn't the Holy Spirit. That was me, praise God. Because he put me in check. He said, you said five. And I said, okay, one, chapter one. Are we there? All right, this is Galatians chapter number one, verses 1-5. Paul, an apostle, the special messenger appointed and commissioned and sent not from any body of men, nor by or through any man, but by through Jesus Christ, the messenger, the Messiah, excuse me, and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Do y'all hear that? Are we on the same page? Now, mine reads a little different. Is that all right? Because I'm reading out of the Amplified. All right, here we go. And all the brethren who were with me to the church at Gladia, it says grace and spiritual blessing. Listen to what he says. Grace, the third verse, grace and spiritual blessings be to you and your soul, peace from God and the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Do y'all hear that? Then it says the fourth verse, who gave and yielded himself up to an atonement for our sins and to save and sanctify us in order to rescue and deliver us from the present wicked age and world order, in order that the will of God and the purpose and the plan of God, amen, and our Father, to him ascribe all the glory through all ages of and ages of the eternities of the eternities, amen, so be it. Now, I don't know if y'all caught that enough. Amen, praise God. I like the third verse because what this really says is that it reveals God's plan. I mean, the fourth verse. It reveals God's plan for us. And God's plan in the fourth verse, it says, who he gave and yielded himself up. Who was that? That was Jesus. He is the atonement for our sins. In other words, the atonement means when God brings peace between man and God. Woo, glory to God. There was enmity between me and God, amen. But Jesus said, I'm going to bring peace because of the blood of the Lamb. His blood, my God, amen, soothed, amen, the pain over generations of sins that happened in Adam. And God said, amen, I'm going to send my son Jesus because he's going to be the Prince of Peace, amen. Because of the atonement, amen, the blood that he shed, we now have peace with God. And the peace with God simply means we have government ruling over us. You cannot have peace without government. Are you hearing me today? You can't have peace without government. There has to be some government ruling over you, and that government is called the kingdom of God. Somebody say the kingdom of God. And the Bible said the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness and peace and joy, what, in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness is our position in God. Amen. Peace is what we receive from that position. And the Holy Ghost, amen, and have joy, amen. How many know we need to be full of joy, amen? And the joy, amen, is not something that's superficial. The joy, amen, is just knowing that we've been content in God and just having a picture. You just got to have this picture in your mind that God got you in his arms and he's just rocking you through life, amen, rocking you. When things come, amen, he just says, you know, use your faith, honey, amen, use your faith, amen. Amen. When we use our faith, he kicks in, praise God, amen, because he's there to protect us. This scripture says, if I read it right, it talks about how he wants to rescue and deliver us from this present wickedness or this present age, amen. It didn't talk about us being delivered, amen, just to go to heaven. He knew that we could have some things to do here in the earth to be a witness for him, and he knew that the enemy was still running around deceiving people. We know we still live in a cursed system, amen, but God said, even though that's going on, I'm still going to protect them, amen. I'm going to be with them. I'm going to show them how to walk by faith and not by sight. I'm going to show them, amen, to be combat ready, that when things happen, they won't say what they see, but they'll say what I said, amen. And then when things say, amen, one thing to them, and they're going to separate what they feel and find faith, and faith is going to deliver them. Somebody say, faith will deliver me. That's what happened with the Hebrew boys. Their faith delivered them. They said, you know what? If God don't deliver us, we know that he's able, amen. In the heat of their fear and their doubt and their unbelief, they still stood on what God's word. It's still a choice in the heat of your battle. When you understand that you've been built to be combat ready, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That's just not a statement to make you feel good. You need to quit, amen, looking at you so much and looking at what's inside of you and say what God says and not what you feel. And I keep saying this tonight. God told me to keep telling you, feeling ain't faith. You need to get out of your feelings and get in faith, praise God. Tell your neighbor, say, get out of feelings and get in faith. Well, I don't feel like this. That's the problem. We ain't trying to feel our way. We're trying to faith our way. Amen. We're trying to believe our way. Amen. We're trying to trust in what he says. Amen. Because that's important for you and I to understand. That if the Bible says the just must live by faith, come on now. That simply means you can't use your feelings in the, my God, trying to live this thing. Are you hearing me today? My God, I'm getting fired up in here tonight. Praise God. I don't know what it is. I feel some heat, amen, for coming from somewhere. Praise God. But I'm here to tell you tonight, amen, you got to go against how you feel. You got to go against what you think. You got to go against what other people say. I mean, one time they were saying, amen, no one's hiring. Jobs are bad. I said, we're going to pray to God, create a job. Create jobs for people. Can he create? If you ask him, he will. If you don't ask him and say what everybody else is saying, you're going to have what you say. Oh, I'm talking truth up in here today. Say, learning to process with the intent to come out. Daily struggles. I mean, once I got a hold of this, I said, you know what? God gave me the scripture, Ephesians 3:20. It just messed me up. It says, now unto him. He said, it ain't on you. It's on me now. Who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I can ask or think according to his power that's working within me. That messed me up. I read it and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, who is the initiator of this text? Who is the initiator of this text? And I looked at it again. Because it said, now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all. And then it stopped when I said, ask or think. I said, I am. If I don't ask or think, he ain't got nothing to work with. If I never ask or think, God ain't got nothing to work with. So when I got it, I said, well, we're going to change this. How many know it takes faith to ask beyond where you are? Let me tell you some things about how God has showed me and proved to me that this works in our everyday living. My wife, before she, God bless her, to come off her job and everything, she's a paralegal by trade. She worked in that field about 20 years, decided she didn't want to do that anymore. She says, honey, I think I want to get a part-time job. So anytime we want something, we ask. I said, God, what can you create a part-time job? She told me what hours she wanted, everything. We touched and agreed. That's I found out in the Bible, too, that if we can touch and agree, we can get on offense and ask God some stuff. So we asked God. So she got hired, amen, at this one place, and it was a good part-time job. In the interviewing process, they said, we're going to hire you, but one of the things we want you to know, because you are a part-time employee, you're not entitled to any benefits. No benefits. It's in the manual, and this is by law in terms of what we believe and what we have stated here in this company. So she came home and she said, honey, that disturbed me. See, when you know your rights, you don't just lay over. Come on. Because they said something. She said, honey, will you touch and agree with me? Because remember that scripture, now unto him who's able to do above all we can. See, the body of Christ, we're afraid to ask. Because we ask based upon what we can do in it. But that's not what the scripture says. So you know what? We touched and agreed and we prayed. And it didn't happen instantly. We prayed for almost, she worked there about a year. About a year she worked there. One day she comes home. Remember? Because when you pray and ask God something, there's three things you got to understand. Number one, you got to throw away your planner. Because God ain't in a hurry. He'll do it, but he's going to do it in his time. Is that all right? Another thing is you got to let it go. You just got to give him thanks every day that it's done. Hello, I'm talking about working, being combat ready here. And the third thing, every once in a while, you just got to say, thank you, Lord. Now, we still prayed it because the prayer wasn't for him to answer. It was just to cause us to have faith and to stay on track to remember that he's working that out. One day she comes home. Sonny, I got to tell you something. I said, well, what, honey? She said, you know, I was sitting at my desk, and the guy from HR kept walking by my desk. He walked by it one time, turned around, walked by it again, and turned around. She said, if he walks by my desk one more time, I'm going to ask him, what is wrong with him? So he finally stops and he sits down at her desk. He said, Teresa, there's something I need to tell you. We don't know how this happened. We're still trying to figure out how this happened. We don't have a clue what happened here. But I wanted you to know, when we hired you, we told you that you weren't eligible for any benefits. And it's in the handbook. It says that. But for some reason, your name is in the retirement system. We don't know how I got there. All we know is your name is now in the retirement system. And the way things are written in our law is that once your name is in the system, can't nobody take you out. Touch name said, we're talking about our God. And he's scratching his head, and she's looking at him, and then she said, he looked at her, he said, well, this simply means that from the date that you were hired, we have to retro pay. We have to go back. You've been here a year. We have to give you retirement pay from that day you started. See, sometimes they'll say no, but God will say yes. Because you're learning how to use your faith. Come on. I'm not talking about something that I'm just reading out of the book. I'm talking about something I've experienced myself. I tried it and it worked. You hear me? It worked. And now I got to the place I asked God all kind of stuff now. Because he said, you know what? God says, you know what? Test me. He said, you know what? We just asked that, you know, she get retirement. She got back pay and everything. Amen. Because now unto him who's able to do what? Exceedingly abundantly above all we can what? Ask or think according to the power that's working. The power of covenant says you got a right. You got a right to ask. Touch your neighbor, say, you got a right to ask. That young man, I told him, I said, you knew you got a criminal record, but you still got a right to ask because you got the atonement blood of Jesus Christ. Let's start asking God and see if he's going to work. Praise God. How many know life get exciting when you start asking God things that you know you didn't do yourself, but he starts doing it for you? Is that making any sense? One time I asked God, I said, God, take me over the freeway. I was going to do a meeting down in, where was I going? I was going in South Carolina. Was I in South Carolina? Amen. South Carolina is correct. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I was going to South Carolina, Columbus to South Carolina. Columbus to South Carolina, and that's a journey right there. I'm driving, amen. I'm having a great time talking to the Lord. He's talking to me. I get all the way down there to the meeting because I pray God to cover me and watch over me. Amen. I had a good time down there with the people. Drove all the way back home. Amen. Had a business appointment downtown. I sat down downtown for a minute. And while I was down there, I went into the building, came back out, had a ticket on my car. I said, what's the ticket on my car? I paid the meter. It said expired tags. So I had drove from Columbus, come on now, to South Carolina with expired tags. You could see the angels, amen, on the back of the car, high in the front of the car, hiding, amen, amen, and cover me till I got back home. See, we limit God to just being in church, but God wants to be in our life. Are you hearing me today? Let me give you another story. My son, amen, he was 15 at the time, going to high school and having a problem with this thing called algebra. He said, Dad, I can't get it. Well, he's looking at me. I said, it's been years ago. I said, I can't get it either, you know. But I knew if we prayed, I said, God, if you would bless him. We took in our living room, I touched my hand, and we held hands together. Because why would have God put scripture in the Bible when it's not act upon the scripture? Amen. We need to load up. Amen. So I touched hands with him. I said, we're going to believe that God is going to open up your mind to this thing called algebra. Your job, amen, is to do the studying, amen, and do the homework, amen, and then God will open up your mind. He said, okay, Dad, our testing degree, we believe. We believe. I said, yes, we believe. And then from that point on, he did his part. He brought the book home. He studied, did it. When he took the next test, you know what he got on it? A B. See, God, testing they said, don't limit God. Because God can do anything if you have faith to believe. Is that making any sense? Now, learning to process with the intent to come out of daily struggles. Amen. How many know we need to come out? I told God I want to come out spiritually, naturally, physically, financially, emotionally. I said I want to come out. Anything that I come into that's not of you, I'm coming out. Amen. Praise God. Amen. The sickness hit me not too long ago. I had surgery. I said, I'm coming out of this too. Amen. Glory to God. I'm coming out 10 times better than before. Amen. I confessed my way out. I said, I ain't receiving this. They said, you're 60-something years old. You should have this, and that. I said, read your chart because you know what? I ain't receiving it. Amen. Amen. Sometimes, the delivery man that come to our house and he don't belong there. He's bringing the package that don't belong there. Amen. You ain't got to accept it. Don't sign off on that. Touch your neighbor and say, don't sign off on that. There's some things, amen, that are hitting your life. You don't have to sign up on it and just say, well, that's just the way the world is. No, you're under covenant. Amen. You got the atonement blood of Jesus on your life, amen. And God said, I want to rescue you through this wicked age, amen. I want to show them that I'm still God and I can still do things beyond the natural ability of man, amen. I'm still the God, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, you just need to stir up your faith. Church and they said, stir your faith up. My God. Oh, I'm talking up in here. Amen. I got 15 minutes. I'm working it real good. Praise God. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Amen. Amen. We're talking about combat ready. Combat ready. Amen. Why do we need to be combat ready? Let's look at another scripture. Amen. I think it'll be helpful to you. Amen. Turn to Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians is an interesting book. And Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus. The word church means ecclesia, called out ones. He's writing to inform them, amen, that they have an adversary. Come on now. And it's the enemy, amen? Yeah. The good thing, he's already defeated. The only way he gets the advantage over us is to deceive us or get us away from the scripture. Yes. The more he gets us away from the word of God into your feelings, then he's going to try to hold you down, amen? So it talks about in Ephesians 6, and I'm going to read this here out of the King James. It says 6 and 10, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of what? See, it never said be strong in you. It says be strong what? In the Lord. So that's a choice. You have, anytime God tells us to do something, you have to choose you're going to do it. So I'm going to be strong what? In the Lord and in the power of what? His might. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Amen. For we wrestle not against the flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, but against spiritual wickedness, what? In high places. Wherefore, take upon you, amen, the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having all the done, what? To stand. Remember, I was talking to a pastor one time. He was talking about all this he was going through, all this he was going through. I said, well, the Bible said, just stand. Because if you're standing and everybody, and you know, they're throwing the kitchen sink at you and you're still standing, you're dodging, you know, you're still standing, you know what? That means you're standing in some power. Because most people don't stand, they run. Is that all right? They run. You know, I'm not going to be there tonight. Let's go a little bit further. 15 verse. And it says, and your feet shot, no. 14 verse, stand therefore having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of what? Righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Here's the 16th verse. Above all, somebody say above all. Above all. It says, taking the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now this is powerful because he's telling us to take the shield of faith. Listen, this shield is not a little shield. This shield will cover you from head to your toes. And matter of fact, the shield that they have, basically you couldn't even see yourself once you put the shield down. Are you hearing me? And God simply said, your faith in him allows him to be a shield for you. Yeah. Woo, glory to God. Is that making any sense? So here he says, if we read it right, he says, amen, that we need this shield of faith. Somebody say shield of faith. Shield of faith. It says, basically what it does, amen, It destroys the enemy's tactics against us. He can't get an advantage. Because how he can't get advantage, I'm hiding it behind God. He's telling me to come out so he can see me. Because if he can see me and then I'm focused on me, then he says, I got you. Come on. Come on. But as long as I stay in God and God's in me, I know he's in me, developing what we call now God consciousness. Because God consciousness means, you know what? We're on the winning team. Hey, man, how many know we're not trying to win? We've already won. We're just, what, enforcing the victory. Somebody say enforcing the victory. Now notice one more scripture. 1 Peter, amen. Are y'all learning anything tonight? In 1 Peter, amen. 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse number 6. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified here. Amen. I might get to shouting and running on this one. 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse number 6. Amen. When you're there, just say amen. In the Amplified, it says, therefore, humble yourself. Humble yourself, it says, which means demote and lower yourself in your own estimation under the mighty hand of God. Y'all hear that? That in due time, he may exalt you. Then it goes on and says, casting the whole of your cares, all your concerns and anxieties, casting the whole care of all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns once and for all on him, for he cares for you effectually and cares about you and watchfully. Do you not know that he's telling us, amen, in other words, to cast it away from you is called prayer. I know why people carry burdens a lot of times. They don't pray it back to God. Mm-hmm. Well, my son didn't know how to do algebra. We prayed and put it back on God. Does that make any sense? Amen. Casting our cares upon him. Now, I'm not a fisherman, but you know, if you want to catch a fish, they said you got to learn how to cast. I ain't never seen anybody catch a fish with their pole, amen, on the side of the bank, holding the pole, and going to catch a fish. And they didn't cast it. You got to cast the line. You got to get it away from you. Come on, you got to get it away from you. See, sometimes we got burdens and anxieties. You got touching them, they said, you got to get it away from you. We're talking about being combat ready now. Amen. This is how you load up your gun. Come on now. Amen. Amen. You got to learn how. Somebody said, well, I'm not used to praying. Listen, prayer is not begging. Prayer is means you have a right to ask. Let me give this to you for free. It won't cost you anything. We're the only governmental agency in the earth that can use the name of Jesus and heaven will hear us. We're the only ones. The only other prayer God hears from sinners, amen, has a lot to do when they want to receive Jesus Christ or they just sincerely they need help. Because sometimes we think that God don't hear sinners' prayer. Oh, yeah, he hears them. And sometimes he doesn't save them, but he shows, he intervenes on their behalf and lets them know that he's what? The rain falls on the just as well as the unjust. Because he's drawing them to a place of repentance. Repentance is when we turn away from ourselves. Amen. Amen. Stop what you're doing. Turn around. Pent means high place. You're looking up. You're looking to something other than yourself. Because that's how you have faith in God is when you turn from yourself. When you spell sin, sin is S-I-N. And the power of sin is the middle letter called I. And when you're independent, that means you're self-driven and God is nowhere in your vocabulary, neither in your mindset, because you're thinking in your mind, I got this. There's a man that had barns and many barns, and he said, you know what? I got all those barns. I'm going to build bigger barns, amen. He thought he had it made. He said, I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. And the Bible said the death angel came, and you know what? And took him away. Because the emphasis was on what he can do, not what God could do for him. Are you hearing me tonight? It's important for you and I, amen, to understand to cast your cares. I can't tell you, amen, that prayer is a privilege. Woo, glory to God. When I get to pray, amen, nothing has to force me to pray. Sometimes trouble will cause you to pray. Either you're going to pray or it's going to wear you like a mule. Anxiety will wear you like a mule. And if you're not careful, anxiety and worry sets in. You know, because mules are designed to carry a lot of weight. Come on now. And you know what? We're not designed to carry anxieties and worry and fear and doubt and unbelief. Those things come, amen, and they will. What do? We learn how to pray and cast them back onto the Lord. So, Lord, I'm worrying about such and such and such. Can you take this away from me? And God says, sure, I'm glad you asked. Because sometimes God can't move because you don't ask. And James said, you had not because you... Oh, you know, we read it. Oh, you had not because you what? Ask not. No, I got this, God. I got this. You know, I got this, God. You know, and we worrying us. Come on now. And then we smiling and how you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored. You look like you hunched over to me, honey. Glory to God. Amen. 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 You know how we do? We just tolerate stuff. Tolerate stuff. And then we got, I'm just waiting on the move of God, and God's waiting on for you to cast that thing unto him. Cast it. Give it to him. Give it to him. Amen. Touching, they say, give it to him. Don't be afraid. You're his child. Give it to him. Amen. Amen. Get in prayer and say, God, can you take away this? Amen. Can you take away that? I told the Lord, I said, listen, I believe that you can teach me how to be prosperous financially. I said, if you teach me, he said, I'm going to teach you because you asked. Woo, glory to God. I said, yeah. I said, because you remember I told you, I'm going to wear God out by asking. Amen. And thinking beyond, amen. You know, because I've been saying lately, what does it look like to operate and not have fear? No fear. Fear come, amen. It's like rain going off a duck's back. It just rolls off of you. You know, that's a powerful place to walk in because you know your relationship with God, and God wants to empower you with that understanding. Let's go a little bit further. Are y'all still with me? Yeah. Amen. Praise God. What verse was that? That was 6, right? Mm-hmm. That was 6 verse. Look at the 7 verse. That's where we were. Casting off, we read that, the 7 verse. Go to the 8 verse. Be well balanced and temperate, sober-minded. Somebody say sober-minded. Be vigilant, listen, and cautious at all times. Not sometimes, but cautious at all times. Why? It says, for that enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and to devour. Do y'all hear that? Where does he want? He wants you to get in your feelings. Because somebody said he's a feelings devil. Yeah, he loves to fight because he can win in your feelings, but he can't win in faith. Is that right? Remember the first temptation that Jesus gave? Amen. The enemy comes in Matthew 4. He asked him, said, if thou be the Son of God. So he's attacking his identity. He wanted to know, do you know who you are, Jesus? Because the devil already know who he is. He said, if thou be the Son of God, amen, cast these stones into bread. In other words, perform so I know who you are. Performance is not who you are, it's what you do. He's trying to twist it. But Jesus said, no, listen, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of what? To proceed of what? Out of the mouth of God. He put the word back on him. He said, listen, my substance, amen, has not to do with me doing things. It's because God what provides for me. Is that making any sense? So it's important for you and I, amen. If the Bible says in the King James, your adversary, the devil. Somebody said, well, I didn't do anything to him. You did when you received Christ. Somebody said, I don't want to fight, amen. Yeah, no, because you received Christ, amen, his job is to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I come that you may have what? And have it more abundantly. Not when you get to heaven, but right now. He said, I'm going to teach you, amen, to be combat ready, amen. Use your faith, your confession, your obedience. I'm going to teach you how to war against this enemy that's walking around seeking whom he may devour. And the word may is kind of funny. Ever y'all play that game, Mother May I? See, Mother May I, all kids lined up together. Amen. I'm going to tell you how this works. All the kids lined up together. Is that all right? Mother May I stand way out there somewhere. Y'all hear that? Mother May I is the command center. In other words, nobody moves until Mother May I, amen, you get her permission. He said, Mother May I, can I take 2 steps? She said, you may. And you just take. Then somebody else said, well, you know what? Mother May, can I take 3 steps? And she said, you may. And then sometimes she said, you may not. The enemy is looking for your permission to oppress you. He's looking for your permission to keep you in debt. He's looking for your permission because you're the command center. Come on now. Come on, because he ain't got no authority, amen. His authority was stripped, amen, praise God. And all that he got is a lie, amen. He wants to deceive you, amen, so you can give him authority to work in your life. Mm. Touch the neighbor and say, it's not going to happen. Not on my watch. Touch the neighbor and say, it's time to get combat ready. Amen, amen. He said, may I? I said, no, you may not. Can I touch your finances? No, you cannot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He comes in many forms, many fashions, uses people. Sometimes he got high heels on. Sometimes he got boots on. Come on. Sometimes he's small. But you got to pay attention. Remember I told you last night, we need what? Discernment. Discernment to recognize who you're dealing with. Y'all remember that? Remember I told you that? Remember when Peter, amen, looked at Jesus, and Jesus, amen, was telling him he had to die. On the third day, he's going to be risen up again. And his disciple, Peter, looked at him and said, no, God, that's not going to happen to you, Jesus. And Jesus turned around to him and said, Satan. Jesus wasn't confused. He knew that that was Peter, but Peter was using, the enemy was using him to speak through him. So he addressed the command center that Peter opened up his mouth and yielded to his flesh and his feelings, because feelings and flesh don't want Jesus to leave. So he recognized that that's a feeling, that's not the word of faith. So he addressed it and he said, you know what? Get thee behind me, Satan. Now don't do that tomorrow. You might get in trouble. If somebody say something, you may get in trouble, praise God. But you got to pay attention to what we're saying. Does that make any sense? Let's go a little bit further. I'm almost done. Listen. Amen. Look at the eighth verse. Be well balanced and temperate, sober-minded, vigilant, caution at all times. For the enemy yours, the devil, roams around like a lion, roaring in fierce anger. It says here, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. It says, withstand him. Y'all hear that? Get in his face. Amen. Get in front of your mountain. And then talk faith to it. It says, withstand him, amen, be firm in what? Faith against his onset, rooted, established, strong, immovable, determined, knowing that the same identical sufferings are appointed to your brotherhood, the whole body of Christ throughout the world. And after you have had, someone say, after you have suffered a little while. It says, the God of grace who imparts all blessings and favor, who has called you to his own eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will himself complete and make you what you ought to be, establishing and grounding you securely and strengthening and settling you. To him be dominion and the power and authority and the rule forever and ever. Amen. So be it. The learning process is about us learning how to use our faith and to stand against something and to speak against it in faith and then stand there believing, amen, that you know what? This thing is going to happen because it's according to God's will for my life. Amen. Me and my wife, when we touched and agreed, and I tell people this all the time, they're just amazed. There's many other stories, but for time's sake, I don't have time to get into that, because you know, when you get into archives of understanding how to, your faith, your confession, and your obedience, and you said just right, it works every time, because God is not a respected person when it comes to faith. Amen. Amen. The Bible says, you know what, without faith, it's impossible to please him. That it says, you know, he that cometh to God must first believe that he is. Listen, and he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. God wants to reward you, and how he rewards you, amen, he equips us, and how he equips us is to teach us, amen, how to move in this thing called faith, amen, confession and obedience. Then we're combat ready now. And then when things start hitting our life during the day, we're not like everybody else. We just swallow up and eat it and take it. No, we were standing. We speak against it. You know, we say, no, we don't receive that today, amen. Amen. God's going to make a way out of no way, amen. And sometimes when we speak and confess things, we don't have to have an answer to it, because he's able to see that those things come to pass. I'm here to tell you tonight, amen. Amen. God says, you know, it's time to unrobe ourselves from distress and fear and doubt and unbelief and not having enough at home and not being able to do this or do that. Quit using the excuse and start asking God, amen. Take that thing to prayer. You ain't begging. You got a right to ask God, amen. Come to the throne of grace, that you might attain mercy and grace and help in a time of need, amen. And when you ask according to his will, angels will be dispatched, just like an angel came down, amen, in the midst of that office, went in the IT department, got on the computer, amen, and put my wife's name inside it, and it didn't even belong there, but God said yes, they said no. Somebody say amen up in here. Come on, stand on your feet for a minute, amen. I'm here to tell you tonight, amen, that God, amen, he wants us to be beyond where we are. Amen. Believe beyond what he can do. Amen. Amen. Believe to the place that Paul said, I believe, therefore I've spoken. Amen. Paul didn't only believe, but he spoke it. Amen. He spoke out what he believed. I said, God, I believe you're going to help me pay my house off in full. Oh, $200,000 on that house. Some of believe God, I don't know how you're going to do it. It ain't enough for me to believe. But you said, now unto who him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all can ask or think, according to the power that's working within us right now. I want you to understand that God loves you so much. Amen. He sent his son Jesus. Amen. Those that have received Jesus are serious about walking with him. He wants to equip us, amen, with the ability to be combat ready. Why do we need to be combat ready? Because the devil, your adversary, is waiting on you tomorrow. Amen. He's already making plans for you. Amen. Amen. If he had advantage today, he's trying to get advantage tomorrow. Amen. So you need to take whatever it is he's bringing your way. Amen. Amen. Go and build your little altar in the house. Amen. And take that thing and say, God, pray exactly what it is. Say, God, this is what's ailing me, and I need you to help me. And the Bible said, we pray anything according to his will. My God, the Bible says he hears us and give us the petition that we ask for. So we're not begging. We're asking, amen, that God turn some things around in our favor. Amen. I ain't going out like this. Amen. The Hebrew boy said, we ain't going out like this. If we got to be barbecue, we want you to know, even though we're going to be barbecue, God is still able. Amen. How we know he's able? Because he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I can ask, above all I can think. I'm here to tell you today, it doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, God looks for faith. Amen. When the Son of man come, will he find faith on the earth? We find somebody believing and confessing, amen, and God will move on their behalf, because faith is the currency of the kingdom. And when we believe what God says and use our currency, we can cash it in. Tell your neighbor, say, we can cash it in. Sometimes lately I wasn't sleeping good at night. I said, God, amen. I said, I'm not gonna take all this. I said, can you help me sleep good at night? He said, you've asked the right person. I'm the sleep master, he said. He said, I'll help you sleep at night. He said, listen, let me tell you how it works, amen. He said, you ask me, now watch me work. The Bible says that Adam fell asleep and woke up and had a wife. Come on here, somebody. You know, that was a deep sleep. Did surgery in the boy. He woke up and had a wife. Touch the neighbor and say, don't limit God. Don't do it. Don't do it. That insults God. When you limit him because you put him on your level, God is not on our level. Right. Touch your neighbor and say, it's time for you to get combat ready. So you may not want to fight, but it's not your fight. It's Christ's fight. I remember going in the city one time, and I began to declare some things, amen. Places were ran down, and I began to declare some things in the neighborhood because I had a right to ask. I had a right to ask. See, I'm out there now. I'm just asking kind of crazy stuff now. Amen. So I asked God, I said, God, can you bless this place and bring promote people in the area that will promote this area, because people need jobs. Amen. And even where the ministry is, they closed down a Myers not too far from us. I can probably walk across the street and get to it. And this is probably over 16,000 square feet. Just closed the place. So I prayed, and the church prayed. I said, we're praying that God would create something, and not let that building be vacant. And what came in? A Huntington Bank came in. You touching, they said, you don't know what might happen. If you start asking beyond what you can do, look at these people over and say, get combat ready. Look at these folks over here and say, get combat ready. Come on, raise your hands. We're going to get combat ready tonight. Amen. We're getting off the pew. We're getting off of defense now. We're getting on offense. Amen. We're going to wield the word of God out of our mouth. Amen. Praise God. Let me get this for you for free while you got your hands raised. Amen. Amen. So you can get tired for just a minute. Just hold them up. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Listen. Amen. There's a woman that works for the Columbus Police Department. She's only 5'11". She only weighs 119 pounds. Amen. But she's strapped, amen, with the authority of the Columbus Police Department of Columbus, Ohio. A truck comes down. Amen. It's burling down the street. There's a semi-trailer. She stands in the middle of that street with her 5'11 frame. And then she raises her hand like that and she says, stop. Now, two things happen. Either the truck's going to stop, but if it keep coming out, she pulls off the gun now. Are you hearing me? Yeah. Raise your hands. Say, we will. Become combat ready. We will the Lord to empower us to become combat ready. No longer will we take what the devil throws at us. or what the world throws at us. We have the authority to call on God the Father that created the heaven and the earth. And he will move on our behalf because we're under atonement in Jesus' name. Drop that hand. Father, I thank you tonight. Woo, glory to God. We thank you tonight. We thank you tonight. Oh, glory to God. We thank you tonight. We thank you tonight, God. We thank you, Father. Thank you for rallying the troops, God. Thank you for giving us a word from heaven, God. Help us to help. Oh, my God. Thank you for teaching us that it's not about our feelings, but it's about faith, glory to God. And faith is your word, God. Help us to will your word out of our mouth, God. No longer will we be a mat for the enemy, God. No longer will we be a mule to carry things. We will take it to you in prayer. Then we will lift it up to you, and then it will be cast far away from us because we're standing in faith, God. God, we give you praise tonight, God. We give you glory tonight, God. Oh, we give you honor tonight, God. Oh, God, because it's not over until you said it's over, God. My God, it might be negative now, God, but you're going to turn it around in our favor, God. Turn it around, God. Turn it around in our favor, God. Turn it around, God. Turn it around, God. Oh, God, turn it around, God. Let sickness go. Let disease go. Let infirmities go, God. Let fear and doubt leave us in the name of Jesus, because we're under atonement. Glory to God. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. That's what our forefathers did. They trusted God. They trusted God, and the God, amen, wasn't locked up in heaven. He came down to earth, and he started doing some things on their behalf. The same God that did it then, he can do it for us today. Touch your neighbor, say, thank you for becoming combat ready.